I need to alert you young people that you are the recipients of a subliminal message. A subliminal message that is imposed upon you by your parents, your grandparents, your Sunday school teachers, your mentors, and your ministers. And next to the message, "We love you," this is the most important message you can receive from us. It is simply the message, "You bear God's special mark. You are made in the image of God." And as long as you retain that sense of God's specialness upon you, as long as you claim the fact that you're made in God's image, then you are going to be connected to a spirit of power and vitality that others are not going to know. As long as you retain that sense of being made in God's image, as long as you know you bear God's special mark, you are going to be fed by a vitality that others aren't connected to, and you're going to be impelled by a purpose that others cannot detect. Jesus didn't use those words with his audience. He didn't say, "You bear God's special mark." Instead, he said these words, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And you are called to walk and tread the narrow path, the particular narrow path to which you are summoned by God. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world," and each one of us who hears God's summons is called to tread our own particular narrow path. The truth is, all of us bear God's image. All of us bear that special mark. But we can ignore that mark. We can obscure that mark. But if we retain it, if we live with that sense of knowing that we are connected to the very kingdom of God, then every day we hear the whispering spirit of Christ summoning us to become a new creature and to renew the world by the renewing of ourselves. If we're connected to that whispering spirit of Christ, then every day it calls us to be an instrument of redemption, to claim our redemption, and to seek to be an instrument of redemption for others. It's important that you realize you have been summoned, recruited, and incorporated into a long redemptive narrative. The truth is, if we arrange Jesus' original disciples along with you this morning, none of them would be an honor graduate. They were uncouth, they were untrained, they were crude peasants. But all of them lived with a powerful sense of bearing the mark of God and being enterprise and being involved in this amazing enterprise, cosmic enterprise. And so it was. Even though every military might, every social strata, every secular and sacred authority was arrayed against them, they were not deterred from their purpose. They were simple peasants, but they stood unabowed and unabashed before every political emperor, every military general, every political body. They had an enthusiasm that could not be quenched. They had a courage that could not be swayed. They had an intensity that could not be diluted, because they knew themselves to have heard that commission of which y'all sang. that you are indeed instruments of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and turning the world upside down. You take your place in this narrative of redemption. It's now up to your generation to spread God's good news to your friends, to your acquaintances, to the next generation. It's up to you to help plant the seeds of faith that bring the next generation of believers, to nurture the church. You are now a part of a movement whose very purpose is to turn the world upside down. You are salt, light, and treaders of a narrow path. And the truth is, salt has a certain bitterness to it. And we as Christians note that bitterness in our lives before we note it in the world. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to want to blend in the anonymity of the herd when Christ calls you to be salt that stands out. There are going to be times when you're called to be forces of purity in a milieu of crudity. Forces of forgiveness in a milieu of vengeance. Forces of mercy and love in a milieu of hatred. You're going to be called to be salt and light and to recognize that even one grain of salt for the kingdom of God can make a difference in an entire community. 61 years ago, in my hometown of Montgomery, Alabama, May of 1961, a Greyhound bus rolled into the bus station, and out of that bus station came a group of young white and black seminary students who were committed to the ideal that all people are created equal. But waiting for them were a group of white supremacists with baseball bats and clubs. And they fell upon those young students and they began to break their bones and kick in their teeth. One of those young men was a young black man by the name of John Lewis. And he said to himself, "I am about to die." And in that chaos of hatred and violence, in walked this huge white man, a son of segregation, wearing the uniform of an Alabama Safety Patrol officer. And he fired his pistol into the air twice, said, "My name is Floyd Mann, and there will be no killing here today." And one of the men tried to ignore him and started to raise his bat to hit a student one more time. And Ralph Mann put his gun to his head and said, "Your arm goes down, you're a dead man." One man in a milieu of hatred, in a chaos of acrimony. One man standing as God's salt. He believed even amidst that chaos, he bore the special mark of God. He believed that those young men and women being attacked bore the mark of God. He believed even the attackers bore the mark of God. And so one man standing as God's salt, standing for decency, changed the lives of every single person in that Greyhound bus station. You bear the mark. You bear the mark of God. And you are called to tread a narrow path. And people who lose that sense of mark, who lose that sense of the narrow path, they experience a vacuum of values. Mason, as you go off to that den of iniquity, known as Georgia Tech. The truth is, you can find iniquity in most any college. But you're going to watch people, Mason, that you respect, lose their way because they lose that sense of specialness. Specialness of the mark of God. You're going to watch people absorbed into the darkness, trying to conform to the herd of other people's expectations. You're going to watch people lose their way because they lose their sense of being connected to that whispering spirit of Christ. But the truth is, you're the salt of the earth. You are the light of God. You're the lamp of love. And you're called to tread a particular path that God will summon you to maximize your gifts and potential. And it matters. It matters the attitude with which you approach your service in the kingdom of God. Years ago, I ran across the story of two men who were hammering nails into a railway with a sledgehammer. And this well-dressed executive saw one of them and waved him over, and they shook hands and exchanged pleasantries. And the man came back to his partner, and the guy said, "Well, who was that?" He said, "That's the president of the railroad." "Well, how do you know him?" "Because 25 years ago, we started hammering nails on this railroad together." And the man asked the obvious question, "Well, how did he get to where he is, and you're still where you are?" And the man answered, "25 years ago, I came to work for minimum wage. He came to work for the railroad." The attitude with which you approach your service to God's kingdom really matters. How you use your gifts for God's kingdom. Came across a speech some years ago by a General Motors vice president who was speaking to an Ivy League group of MBAs about what they needed to look for in the people they hired. And he said to that group of highly selective business people, "The number one thing you need to look for in people is integrity." He said, "We grade people on a two-dimension grid. People who advance the work of our company and who have integrity, we pay them well, we promote them quickly, we treasure them because they're the best that we have. Then there are those who have integrity, but they don't always promote the company successfully. Those people we give repeated chances to improve because we know if they have integrity, if we train them right, they will maximize their potential. Then there are those who don't have integrity and don't advance our company, and those people we fire quickly because they can do far more harm than good." The real problem group, he said, are those who advance the cause of the company but don't have integrity. We try to instill character in them, and if we can't, we have to fire them. Because we know in the end they will cause ruin. My young people, your salt, your light, your integrity is valued by the world. It is needed by our world. You can make a difference for God's kingdom and a difference in people's lives. Truth is, right now, all of you are sort of treading a path that everybody else in your peers is treading. Preschool, elementary school, middle school, high school, college. But the thing is, as you move forward, you are going to define your particular life by the scalpel of your own choices. The time will come when you choose things like location and vocation and love and marriage and children and faith and church. And every one of those decisions will define your life in your own narrow path. And the truth is, no one can make those choices for you. God won't even make those choices for you. God will give you the ability to make those choices, but you have to make them. The one thing that our Lord says to us is, don't waste your talent. Don't waste your talent. Salt that's lost its saltiness is worthy only to be thrown away. No one lights a light and then covers it. Don't waste your talent. People who don't know God, who don't realize that their giftedness is from God, they don't dishonor God because they don't know God. But those of us who know that we bear God's special mark, we are under obligation to use our abilities to better our world and to advance God's kingdom. Because if we don't, we're saying to God, I know you've given me gifts, but I don't trust you to make use of me. I don't trust you to provide for me. Thirty-seven years after that bus attack at the Greyhound bus, John Lewis went back to Alabama for the dedication of a civil rights memorial. And during that ceremony, as soon as it was over, there was a reception. And John Lewis was coming back as a longtime Georgia House of Representatives, one of the most distinguished politicians Georgia has ever produced. And at the reception, this old white man comes up to him and says, I remember you. You're John Lewis. I remember you from the Freedom Rides. And John Lewis looks at this man and has no idea who he is. And then suddenly, the light dawns. It's Floyd Mann. And John Lewis clasps this big white man to his bosom and starts crying. And says over and over and over again, you saved my life. You saved my life. You saved my life. And the old white man said something to John Lewis that John Lewis treasured to the end of his days. He said, I am right proud of your career. I am right proud of your career. Y'all are just at the commencement of your lives. And I hope you have a long, fruitful journey ahead of you. But listen to the testimony of one who's no longer young. Life speeds by. There are those here who can say after 50 years, where did it all go? You have ample opportunity to use your giftedness as salt and light, treading your own particular path. But there will come a day when your Creator calls you to account and asks, how did you spend the gifts with which I gave you? And I hope that you hear the Master say to you what Floyd Mann said to John Lewis, I am right proud of your career. I'm right proud of your career. May God bless every one of your lives as you move forward. And Mason, you go with our heartfelt gratitude and our blessings. And know from this point on, you do not labor alone. This church stands with you. May we pray together. Lord, indeed, these young people have something which so many of us do not have, youth. They have opportunities ahead of them, their whole lives to be defined. May your Spirit guide them, even as you guide us. For we too bear your mark. We too are called to define our path through our choices. May they be to your glory. In the name of the Christ we pray. Amen. As the Spirit